SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Unbelievable, Carver High. It's 80 degrees here today in New York City, and it's October 21st, and the world is changing, as you know. I'm hoping that it continues to get warmer and warmer to the point where New York City becomes Miami by 2032, and that every year we never see snow or rain. Here's the deal. We have not seen rain in New York City for 2 months. It has been sunny every day for 2 months. It is literally 70 to 80 degrees every day for 2 months without one drop of rain in 2 months. I have never in 30 years seen that before here in my life. It always rains here. It's Seattle East. It is always crappy here. It is always miserable. And I have never seen, it is literally 60 days in a row of pure sunshine, not a cloud in the sky. And it's unbelievable. So the Cape Cod Open, I'm predicting 68 and sunny, even though it's colder up there than here. And it's getting later and later. You're near Pharrelloween, as you know.
Near Pharrelloween. I've been checking every day, as you know, and I've seen anywhere between 57 and 62 with the sun out all
that's
three
ideal.
Days. So that's fine.
Carver High finally wins the chalice.
The green jacket, if we can get that on Saturday, that would be outstanding. Hopefully it'll come our way. We shall see. It's going to be a big week ahead. All right, last baseball thing. Then I have so much football to get to. We have to start that. But you brought this up before, and I'll finish with it. Of course, the Mets season comes to an end. And you know what, Scotty? What a job by the Mets this year. Give them all a round of applause. They were completely finished by June the 1st. They fight all the way back. Get themselves to game six of the NLCS, unfortunately come up short against the Dodgers. But that means a lot of guys, who's going to be back and who's not with that Mets team. Pete Alonso, one of the guys who is a free agent now that it's over. You sent me the story that the Yankees would maybe have interest in Alonso. I don't know if after shelling out $1 billion for Soto, how much more they'd be able to do after that. But I guess anything's possible. Let's hear what Pete's off-season plans are right now with being a free agent.
I mean, honestly, I haven't really thought of anything that far. I mean, I love this team. I love this organization. This fan base has treated not just myself but my family so, so well. It's right now I'm just thinking of, I'm just thinking of the group. I'm just I mean, obviously, like, we'll see what happens. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I love New York. I love this team. I love playing in Queens. Like, this group is really special. The memories we've created together are just, I mean, wow. Like, this is the, this is the why we play baseball. Like, to be able to have that togetherness, to be able to go far, face adversity, overcome it. Like, this team's really special. And, like, this is, and, I mean, yeah, I want more moments like this, and, like, this is a really special group.
Listen, they're this close to winning a world championship, and he was a huge part of it. The home run in Milwaukee, the home run against the Dodgers in Game 5, forcing Game 6. He has been a playoff performer. His catch in Game 6 down the first base line over his shoulder on that foul ball. This guy plays every day, and he is worth the money. Okay, in this day and age, giving that guy $200 million to me is not crazy. Wasn't he already making like $100 million? How do you not give this guy a raise and keep him? It makes no sense to me at all that Cohen is that stupid. I mean, you don't replace guys like this. He will learn. He'll rue the day that he doesn't re-sign Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso has been one of the best Mets ever. I mean, let's just face facts. This guy can flat out hit, and he can play. He's good at first base, and he comes up big in the postseason. What more? You have a loaded team. When you spend the money that this guy spends, they are a loaded team with talent, and the Mets should be a playoff team every year, a wild card at worst.
They should. I got to tell, maybe things have changed now. I mean, we had that moment a couple of months ago where it seemed like, for whatever reason, they didn't want him back. Like, it felt like. Like, that's the way it felt. And I think it's a mistake as well. And I don't know how much this run changes that. We'll see. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Mets and Pete Alonso. All right, there you go with the baseball. Of course, all week we'll get ready for the Yankees and the Dodgers coming up on Friday night, game number one. Let's get to the football now from yesterday. Of course, pain day, pain day, pain day. We have two games tonight. Baltimore in Tampa against the Ravens. We have the Chargers at the Toaster against Arizona. So a double dip with the NFL. Let's start, though, with Sunday night football. How could we not?
Here we
go. Because the Jets had a 15-6 lead over the Steelers in this game, and the Steelers would then proceed to rip off 31 straight points. It took a little while, Scotty, but Russell Wilson in his first start as a Steeler really started to get cooking with George Pickens, including finding him in the end zone on NBC.
Second and 10, gets bring four, Wilson end zone shot, Pickens! Got it! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
I love the catch. Steelers. So, this guy, we were wrong, without a doubt. We thought they should have stuck with Fields. And this guy went out and played so much better at quarterback than Fields, it wasn't even funny. We know that we're right about one thing about Fields. He can run, and he can break ankles, and he can score tutties on the ground, which is just as good as throwing them. He is not the passer whatsoever that Wilson is. Wilson sees the field differently, and he used six different receivers. He spread it around beautifully. He didn't put up gigantic numbers, but he threw for two, and he got Pickens happy. That guy has never been happy since he's been a Steeler. You know, at the end of Roethlisberger's career, he was throwing bombs to him. But Ben couldn't run. He's a lot like me now playing basketball. He became his wheels fell off. His arm never did. It was his wheels. So now he finally has a guy that can throw him the ball. So I think he's happy. And I'll tell you what it's done is opened up the running game. I said that earlier. Najee's had a back-to-back 100-yard games. They haven't had back-to-back 30-plus point games since the COVID year in 20. The Steelers are, it's like Gabe said, they're a playoff team. They are good. So here's the deal. They could not win the North. The Ravens could win the North, or the Steelers could win the North because the Steelers are playing them on the 17th. I'm going to the game. The Ravens always have problems with the Steelers at Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. The Steelers give them problems. And if that happens again, the Steelers win the North. If they don't win the North, they're getting a wild card because all the other teams that are good are winning their divisions. The Chiefs are winning their division, and the Bills are winning their division, okay? So I don't have to worry about them being wild cards. And if you win 10 games in today's NFL, you go to the playoffs. 10 is the in number. 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins, you're automatic. 10, 11, you're in. That's it. That's all there is to it. Because do the math. There's so many teams that lose on a week-to-week basis that they don't win 10 games. And when you win 10 games, you go to the postseason. How many did the Steelers win last year? 9, right? They went to the playoffs. You win 10, you're in. They're winning 10 games this year, as sure as I'm sitting here. Automatic.
I believe they are,
and the
too.
The over was 7.5. We're going to hit that, too. Then it moved to 8.5. We're going to hit that, too.
We're going to get them both. Here is Tomlin talking about – actually, I probably have to wait on Tomlin. We'll play Tomlin when we come back. We'll come back with him.
Do you disagree with anything I just said?
No, I look at it this way. 10 is absolutely going to get them in. They've got 5. I already told you, 2 against the Browns and 1 Giants. They should win those 3 games. I know the Browns, division rival, blah, blah, blah. That should get you to 8. You got to find 2 more somewhere along the way, and that'll get you to 10.
No problem.
Schedule's a little tough in December. You know, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, but, you know, you got to do what you're supposed to do. You stack them up early. You stack them up early, and then it leaves you some room later on. So I think they're going to be there.
Look, they have a great defense. Not the Jets, the Steelers. The Steelers are the team with the great defense. And now
I agree.
They have an offense that runs and passes. The Steelers are going to the postseason.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, big fans of Mike Tomlin here on Coast to Coast. After a win, what did the coach have to say? I bet he was very happy. He said he was going to wear that sweater. He's going to wear the sweater. If you destroy my sweater. And he put it on. He said he was going to live with the decision that Russell Wilson would be a starter.
And he certainly seemed very happy with that decision. It was the first question he was asked last night after the game.
How would you evaluate Russ tonight?
You know, I thought he was excellent. I thought he got better as the game went on, man. I thought he, but I'm not surprised by that, man. It's been a while since he's played some ball, but I thought he settled in, knocked the rust off, man, and distributed the ball around and played well.
Is part of that wanting to see how guys respond to him, how the team plays with Russ under center?
Yes.
Yes. He had a couple good ones last night, like really short ones, like hard to play ones. Like somebody asked him about Russ, the keeper, you know, the getting the touchdown, the 1 yard, the first down. Like they gave this big explanation about the play, and Tomlin just looked at the reporter and goes, "Yeah, it was just a quarterback sneak." You know, that's it. It was just a quarterback sneak. Like, let's not, you know, let's calm down. It's not that serious. This went very well for him last night. He looks like roses today. He wanted to see Russ in there. I'll say this too. I thought Russ looked good. I did not expect to see him throwing the ball that well. And the main thing was getting it to Pickens, which is what everybody wants him to do. So Russ is going to be the guy. Look, now. You know that.
This guy, it's Russ's team. Last year, he threw 26 tutties and 8 picks. I'll take that every day. I'll take that every day.
Had a good year. On the other side of the coin, of course, the New York Jets, they're in a hole now, Scotty. They got all kinds of problems because after losing at the place the Steelers play last night, they are 2-5. Last year, Rodgers got hurt on the opening possession of the season. They had Zach Wilson at quarterback, and they were 4-3 after 7 games. This year, they are 2-5. Let's hear about from Aaron Rodgers. He had a lot to say last night, but this was, I thought, the most telling comment that he made, that he thought the team was flat going into the game last night.
Well, it's a belief. You know, you gotta have culture changers in the midst of the talent to steer things in the right direction, and there's a lot of us leaders to try and do that week to week, but it comes down to each individual making the right decisions during the week preparation and going out and playing as well as they can and trusting each other. I mean, I've been loving what the messaging that Bricks brought to us, and we had 3 great speakers last night at the team meeting, and the energy seemed really good. But for whatever reason today, it just kind of seemed a little flat in warm-ups. I mean, Sunday Night Football on NBC, only show on TV. I live for these games, and I just don't quite understand why the energy was a little bit flat.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't really, frankly, think he played that poorly, except for the 2 picks to the same guy. But overall, he was like, you know, I mean, what was he, like 24 of 36 or something? It wasn't like he was bad. He threw for like 290-something and a couple of touchdowns. Look, it's not all on him. I just think that every loss becomes his problem. And it's amazing to me because they have all these guys that are talented. And how can you explain to me why they don't win? Rumored had it, they had the best defense in the NFL, which is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. They couldn't stop a mule from taking a leak on him, honestly. They can't stop the run. And I hear how great their secondary is. What are you talking about? What they have is one good player, Sauce Gardner, who got used last night as well by George Pickens multiple times. I'm sick of hearing about the Jets. They are not good at all. And explain it to me, Mike. They have all this talent.
Well, I think that's the first thing is they've been talking about this for years now, that they're the most talented D's. Other than Quinnen Williams, who on the defensive line is without question one of the best in the league at that position, and Sauce Gardner, fine. I still don't think that would be the first or second guy I would take in the NFL cornerback draft if we were having one. But he's a very good player. I won't deny it. Where is the rest of the all pros all over the field? Mosley never plays. So I don't, Mosley's old, he doesn't play anymore. He's on the field for half the games. Here's the other thing. Since they fired Salah 2 weeks ago, I mean, say what you want. That's when the defense has really come off the rails here. The Monday night game against the Bills and last night, they've been run over. They've been thrown all over. And that's ever since Salah was fired. And I think it's, you got to look at it and say, they put too much on this guy's plate. I feel bad for this guy, Ulbrich, because he's the guy who's going to get the, who'll get it at the end of the year, even though he's the interim coach. He's a defensive coordinator. He's never been a head coach before. And I think it's hard for him to manage both responsibilities. I think firing Salah ended up being probably a little too quick for what they were doing, because their defense wasn't playing poorly when they fired Salah.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. And you can't cry over spilled milk. It's already over. They fired him. So
finished.
Talking about like bringing him back, I think you're right. They might have pulled the trigger too quickly on firing him. Should have played the season out, but they didn't. And it sounds to me like what Rodgers is saying is that they like Brick, that they like him better. They're like, we love his message. We love the way he does things. And that to me is indicative of not loving Salah, honestly.
But then why is the
team Salah?
Why is the team flat then? Why would you say that the team was flat? Like I don't.
They were that up falls 15-6.
You know
they never scored again.
When somebody talks about the morale or the team being flat, that's to me coaching. That's somebody's got to be in that room raising the morale. And look, I just think they didn't need Devontae Adams either.
They got him, and isn't he the superstar
Garrett Wilson
stud?
Catch?
Isn't he the superstar stud that's supposed to come in and change the culture? Rodgers and his lover. I mean, honestly, yeah. What do they need now? I'll tell you what they need is to win a game.
And that pick, that one of those two Rodgers picks was Garrett Wilson's fault. I mean, it hit him right in the hands. I mean, the thing hit him right in the hands. I mean, catch the ball.
He admitted that he sucked.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Mike. So I just wanted to say that Wilson last night broke a record that stood since 1957 with Earl Morrill being the highest yards thrown by a Steeler starter making his debut with Pittsburgh. And he did it last night with the 264 and two touchdowns. He has the record now. First start as a Steeler quarterback. He lights it up.
He lights it up. Tremendous job by him. And I think he'll maybe light it up again next Monday night, right? They got the Giants coming to the place the Steelers play. We'll get into their problems in a few minutes. That's for sure. All right. Oh, by the way, one more Jet note for you. Reddick showed up today. He ends the Jet holdout. Rosenhaus figured that all out with the Jets. Adjusted contract. Of course, you knew once Drew got in there, he'd figure it all out. So, by the way, too little too late, though. They're 2-5. So we'll see how much that goes for them here moving forward. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 28-18. I guess we just don't never learn our lesson, right, going after the Chiefs. They are now 6-0. 28-18 final. Brock Purdy had a very tough day. He threw three picks, all of them deep in Kansas City territory. Now, to be fair, he also lost basically everyone who plays. I mean, these guys never play. Debo left. Ayuk suffered a season-ending knee injury, so he's finished for the year. Here's Kyle Shanahan breaking it all down after the loss.
Tough loss, and you have one more game before the bye week. What was the message that you delivered to the team? What do you want them to take away from today?
I want them to say less today. There's no way to sugarcoat that. We got our ass kicked today. Lots of reasons for it, but those are things that they don't need to sit and think about today. We'll address all those tomorrow. We'll get together. We'll go through the truth of the whole tape and, be hard on each other and find a way to put it to bed so we can come out here and make sure we put our best foot forward and find a way to get a win versus Dallas.
So, they'll never beat the Chiefs. They never have. They never will. So they're not winning another Super Bowl as long as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are in the playoffs. If that team gets to the Super Bowl and the Niners are in it, they're losing. They cannot beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the end of it. And then I know you're going to give me this story about Brandon Ayuk. And I got to tell you, after the pain in the ass summer I had with this guy, with all of his, he wants to play for the Steelers, and are the Steelers going to trade for Brandon Ayuk? It was every single day for 3 months. And then in training camp, it only got worse. And all of it was to manipulate the Niners into a new deal. And what happened to him?
Yeah, done. Finished. Knee injury. Done for the year. No good.
You lose.
Those injuries also, that'll probably, I know they come back a little faster, that'll probably spill into next year too. But you can never tell when these things are going to happen. But when you don't do anything the entire training camp, because he walked around carrying his bags and didn't do, you know, and then you start playing games for real, sometimes those guys get hurt.
He did absolutely nothing for the 49ers this season. It's like he never caught a pass.
And here's another one for you, too. And look, this is the second time this year with the Niners, so that's why I'm bringing this up. We live in a day and age now where this league is connected with all these sports books, okay? All of them. And the props are a serious thing. There's a lot of money being bet on these props. NFL injury reports are supposed to, you know, you got to get information out there. Samuel yesterday played 3 snaps. He was sick. He didn't play. And that, you know, there was nothing said about that beforehand. And I know the Niners don't care that everybody bets on this stuff, but we do. We care about it. They did this stuff with McCaffrey the first week of the season. Everyone thought he was playing. And then an hour and a half before the game, he didn't play. And he still hasn't played this year. And now Samuel, everything's fine. Oh, no, by the way, he's sick. He's sitting there with oxygen on it on your sideline. He doesn't play. You bet a bunch of props on Debo Samuel, and you're screwed. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate, and it sucks. And it sucks for the bettors who bet props. But they need to be better. That's twice this year with the Niners. Didn't divulge stuff. They could have had the day before his injury report that he was sick. They could have went and did that. So there you go. Eagles beat the Giants 20. We'll save the Eagles stuff. There's a lot going on with them. Because, of course, Barkley came back to MetLife. And as you thought was going
to
happen,
John Mara
absolutely ran it down the Giants' throat all afternoon at MetLife. And then you compound that with the fact that they embarrassingly couldn't move the football all day. And their offense was an absolute disgrace against the Eagles on Sunday afternoon. So we'll do all that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a facial by Saquon against the Giants. I mean, he just absolutely went off on them.
He certainly did. How about 176 yards and a tutty? Hey. As the Eagles go into MetLife and win 28-3, the Giants had 119 yards of total offense. They were absolutely pathetic. Here is Barkley after the game talking about the win.
Hey, Saquon, now that this game is behind you, what did it mean to you?
To be honest, I'm so happy this game's over. I don't think I should get, besides today, any more questions about the Giants. But like I always said, thankful for the organization. They're the team that drafted me. Still got nothing but love and respect for all the guys over there. But I'm happy to be Eagle. And most importantly, we got a win today in division against a division rival. And, you know, now it's on to the next one.
There you have it.
That sounds nice. And it's just like where he thought he wasn't going to get booed, which they booed the hell out of him when he came out of the tunnel. What he doesn't understand is though, he's going to be there every year. He went to one of their hated rivals. Like, it's not going away. Like, every year when he goes to play the Giants at MetLife, he's going to get questions about playing the Giants. So he's going to have – that's part of the gig, leaving and going to the Eagles. You know, you're going to always be asked about that connection and that rivalry, especially when you stuff it up their rear end for 176 yards when you go in there. So good job by him. On the other side of the coin, though, the Giant offense, they have really you talk about blowing a couple tires the past few weeks. 119 yards of total offense. They benched Daniel Jones at one point and put Drew Lock in. That didn't really go much better. Dable did say after the game that he's going to stick with Jones as the starter. I even saw him say that this morning, too. But here he is talking about the struggling offense.
What's wrong with the offense right now? Obviously, you said 119 yards in a game.
Yeah, just not good enough all the way around, Jordan.
Is there anything that you look at and say that this area is we need
to? Well, the two areas that we continue to work on, actually three over and over again, are our third down red zone and explosive plays. And another game where, I don't know what our longest play was. It couldn't have been too long, 14 yards. I don't know what it was. But it's hard to generate points when your longest play is 14 yards or your longest play last week is 15 yards. So you can do that one of two ways, catch and run, things like that, or push the ball down the field and, give our guys some chances or go up and make some plays. We're continuing to work on that. Those are two areas that, we put a lot of time and effort in, and we're not getting the results. It's not equaling the work and the effort that we're putting into it. So, those are two areas.
Listen, this guy's in trouble because I think Mara's getting sick of him. He's the one that, they brought him in there, and he had a good first year, and now he's had two nightmare seasons in a row. And, I mean, they are anemic. And I'm not sure that Shane will get whacked, but I'm starting to think the odds are increasing that Dable will. Now, look, he might give him one more year because usually, in my view, they give him 4 years. When they do these five-year deals, they'll give him 4 years. But this guy is just as bad as the last two they've had. I mean, he is just as bad as the last two guys, Judge. And what was the other guy's name? He was so awful. The one before
Shurmur.
Him.
Shurmur and the one before Judge. Here's the only thing that I think is going to save these two guys. I honestly believe that Joe Shane and Brian Dable have gone to John Mara. Really, it should be Dable because, Shane is part of the contingent that re-signed Jones, okay? Jones and Mara, Shane and Mara re-signed Jones. They could have easily let him leave. I think that Dable has said behind closed doors, I want my own quarterback. I came here. This guy was here. I want a fresh, I want to be able to take a guy in the draft.
Dable and Shane?
They are, and that's why I think the both of them are going to get a chance here to draft their own quarterback. I think they tried last year. They were just too far away. They couldn't get up into the top three for Daniels or May, and I think that they're already on track. The trajectory's starting. They're going to be picking again in the top five, six, seven. Like, it's starting to look that way.
Do you think they should draft Cam Ward?
I don't know who they're going to take. I think we're still far away from.
Who would you draft, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders?
If those were my two choices, I would probably take Cam Ward. But I don't know who else is going to be in that discussion. Do you know there's going to be a few other guys that we haven't even thought of yet, whether it's
no one's better than those two.
I don't think so. I know that Ewer's stock has obviously dropped here the past couple of weeks with him not playing and Arch being better. So Ewer's probably isn't going to crack those two guys. I don't think Beck from Georgia is going to crack those two guys.
He's already losing money by playing now.
He's losing money playing now. They are going to – I think Mara's going to let Shane and Dable get the quarterback they want. And I think that that's going to be then where the clock starts ticking. I think they can get out from Jones after this year in terms of money, and they're going to get to pick a quarterback.
Do you believe that that Texas would have beat Georgia if Arch Manning played?
I'm not so sure about that, but they would have probably had a better chance than they did on Saturday night.
Do you believe they should go back to him after they watched that performance?
I'm stunned they brought him back out for the second half. And I know I got Sark for you later on that, on why he did it. But he took him out. You might as well have just ran with it and let him play the rest of the game. It didn't make sense to me, but he played so poorly in the first quarter and a half that it really put Texas behind the eight ball. All right. Next, Buffalo beat Tennessee 34-10. They screwed around for about a half, and then they really started laying it on the Titans. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer did start, and it didn't matter. Amari Cooper, in his first game with Josh Allen, immediate dividends being paid as they had the go-ahead touchdown and never looked back on CBS.
Second down and 10. Allen looking for Cooper. Touchdown! His first catch as a Bill goes for 6, and Buffalo pulls ahead.
Listen, as I said last week, this guy to me is more valuable than Adams, in the sense that this guy, all he does is come down with the ball. All he does is catch touchdowns. All he does is make big plays. Doesn't open his mouth. He's not a celebrity. He's not a red carpet guy like Adams. Adams cries and whines and wants out of Vegas, got his way. Now he's back with his lover. Threw the first pass to him, drop. What did he do in a game? 3 catches, nothing. He did nothing in a game. He's done nothing to make the Jets better at all. Meanwhile, Cooper was in Buffalo for 5 minutes and he scored a touchdown.
4 catches, I think it was 66 yards, and that touchdown. And that was with really, like we said, like there was plays out there, like Coleman, who's a rookie, was telling him which way to go. Right. I think that was on the touchdown pass. Coleman had, I think,
the Bills are winning the East, and they're going to the playoffs, and they're going to have a home game. The Jets are not going to the playoffs, and they have all these high-priced players, and they don't win.
That is precisely what goes on. All right, I will save that one for you for next. Anything with? How about Seahawks beat the Falcons 34-14? Gutless effort by Atlanta at home in that game. That was really gutless by Atlanta losing that game.
Geno was tearing them to pieces, and he's tearing them to pieces in the NFL. No one ever, you know, says anything about it. This guy is just tearing it up.
They did get some bad news this afternoon, though. Metcalf left that game for Seattle, DK Metcalf, and he is week to week, apparently, with
his
injury.
I got him for the year. It's better than other guy.
Better than being done for the year. I got a lot of injury stuff for you today. A lot of week to weeks as well that we will get through. We'll come back. Another long day for the Patriots. This time, though, it was in London, and the Lions with a huge win over Minnesota. In that NFC North. We'll do that when we come back.
I hit both games in London, the Bears game last week and this game this week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I had that Bears over to Jags, boom, that hit. Then I had the Jags over to Patriots, boom, that hit. And I thought both of them were easy money, and that was before the 1 o'clock games. That was breakfast at Tiffany's.
It certainly was. 32-16, the Jags do get themselves a win over there. The Patriots fall to 1-6, so they are a long way from that opening win week in Cincinnati. They've lost 6 in a row. Here is rookie head coach Gerard Mayo. Let's just say, Scotty, telling us like how he really feels about his team after the loss.
Disappointing game. We came out, we started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball, that's being able to stop the run, and that's being able to cover kicks, and we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good. Look, back to the drawing board. I mean, we can't sit here and pout. We just got to put a game together.
Back to the drawing board.
We suck, and we have to get better.
Now, he, of course, that ruffled a lot of feathers, that comment in the New England area this morning, calling the team soft.
So what?
So he has already walked that back. When he did his weekly radio spots this morning up there in Boston.
What a femme. Why did he do that?
He said, I wasn't calling the team itself soft. I was calling the way we played in that game soft. I know I have tough players on the team. A lot of scrambling by Gerard Mayo this morning there in the New England area. So what a shame that is.
I will say this. Under 4.5 to hit. I don't care about anything else.
We're getting there. A lot quicker than I thought after they beat Cincinnati the first game. But I will say this, second week in a row, I don't think May's that bad. May's actually, he's okay. I mean, the rest of the team sucks around him. But I actually think May can play.
Keep playing him. He should never not start again.
In fact, they'd probably have more wins if he played since the beginning of the season. If they would have played him the first 5 weeks, he probably would have gotten him a couple of wins. Lions beat the Vikings 31-29. Hell of a game in Minnesota. This was one of my favorites as well. Here we go at the end. Now, the Lions had a lead in this game, Sky. They gave it back to Minnesota. Minnesota was up 29-28. Jared Goff drives the Lions down the field. Jake Bates, who with the winner on Fox for the Lions.
From 44 for the lead, Bates has delivered. Detroit is on top with 15 seconds left.
I mean, this is clearly, in my view, the most dangerous team in the NFC.
I agree. I think especially with how sloppy and injured the 49ers have been over the first 7 weeks of this season, I think the Lions are the best football team in the NFC right now, and rightfully so. Big win for them on the road in Minnesota. They now lead the NFC North with that 5-1 record. Goff in his last 10 quarters, 48 for 55 for 763 crazy yards, 7 tutties, no picks. His passer rating, a buck 55.1.
That is sensational.
And I usually give you the MVP and the award stuff on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'll give it to you tomorrow. I think he's fourth now on the odds board for the MVP. So Goff has been moving up every week with how well the Lions have been playing. That's for sure. Packers.
Wait, do they still have Mahomes with his? He doesn't even throw touchdown passes anymore.
He's still the leader.
He hasn't had a good game all year, and they're 6-0.
He's the favorite for the MVP.
Goff is playing so much better than him. It's not even funny. I would put Goff first.
I think there's a bunch of guys. I think there's two or three guys maybe that have played better than Mahomes so far this year. But because he's Mahomes and because the Chiefs are undefeated, he's the favorite. I think Allen's played better than Mahomes. If you cover the guy, I think Allen has.
And I'm not being a homer with that. Burrow's 3-4.
Burrow's played well. His team just sucks. That's Burrow's problem. Packers beat the Texans 24-22. Also a back and forth game. Now, very unfortunate if you had the Packers -2.5 in this game, but it did take. That's the worst, right? You see a 2.5, you're like, oh, these games never end less than 3. We're going to be all right. Yeah, unfortunately, this one did. 24-22. Jordan Love took him down the field and got them the win. Here is Matt LaFleur on the game-winning drive from Jordan Love.
How did you think of the way Jordan handled the last drive?
I just talked to him about it. That's his superpower. No matter what's happened, whether good or bad, he continues to fight and be resilient, and just the moment's never too big for him. But I thought that was huge for him to be able to take us all the way down the field and get an opportunity right there to kick a field goal. Hats off to him.
I mean, you can't argue with it. He's starting to get his groove.
Packers right there with the Lions and the Vikings, 5-2. They're both 5-1. Packers are 5-2. So the competitive NFC North, as we mentioned, continues.
The Lions are better than all those teams.
The Lions are better than all those teams. I'm going to save this for the next segment because the Myles Garrett, you're probably going to spend a couple of minutes on that. Colts beat the Dolphins 16-10. I just watched a little bit of Tua during one of our breaks. Tua spoke this afternoon to the media in Miami. He's going to be back this week. He's coming back. Their return, once he practices Wednesday, he's out of concussion protocol, and he's probably going to start against Arizona on Sunday. He had a lot to say today about his concussion and coming back. That I'm going to play for you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
Well, one of the things that he said was, kind of dramatically, was that he wants to play until he's dead.
He doesn't care.
I'd rather die than quit playing football, is what he said. He said, I'd rather play and die than quit playing football.
I appreciate everybody's concern for my well-being. And basically, in so many words, said, I don't care. I'm going to keep playing football. They asked him if he's going to wear the cap, the Guardian cap. No, personal choice. I'm not wearing it. So he's rolling and he's getting back out there. Tua will be back.
And he is stupid. And his life is on the line. He's going to have a miserable life. He's going to be great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so really the story was the Bengals beat the Browns, but the story was the Browns.
The story was the Browns. So 21-14, Bengals did win the game. Cover for them. That's all fine and good. In the game, Deshaun Watson gets hurt. All right, gets carted off the field. He does have a ruptured Achilles. He is done for the year. All the tests today did confirm that. But as he gets hurt, Scotty, and is getting carted away, all of the crazy Cleveland fans are all cheering. Now, remember, they've been booing this guy for weeks. Not really because of all of his indiscretions off the field, but he has sucked. He has been the worst quarterback in the NFL. So some of the fans decided to cheer when he was being carted away. This angered everyone on the Cleveland Browns. Jameis Winston was upset about it. Stefanski, and here's Myles Garrett, who was also upset about it.
No, like I said, no one deserves that. And I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually pretty consistent saying earned. He hadn't earned it, and he doesn't deserve it. No, man does pretty much everything right. He's been a model citizen through college and most of the pros. He plays the game as hard as anyone I've seen. Puts everything on the line, willing to throw his body out there. And he plays the game at 100 miles per hour. And there's a risk in being injured, and that he took that risk. But we have to be there for him as a team, as an organization. We can't look down on a guy because of any mistakes on the field or anything off the field.
I'm sorry.
You should have ran the famous Jameis one. It was way better, where he talked about how he grew up and who he is as a man, not Watson, but himself, famous Jameis Winston, and saying, bottom line, you're all a bunch of idiots. What you did to him is ridiculous. It's everything, unsavory, called it, it's despicable. Who do you think you are? This guy deserves better. I don't care what he's faced, what he's done, what he's had problems with off the field. This guy puts his life on the line every day playing quarterback in the NFL, and you cheer when he ruptures his Achilles, and you guys are all a bunch of idiots. And I hate all of you for it. And he said, I don't care what you think of me. You guys are all idiots. It was so much better than Myles Garrett. It's not even funny.
Well, the thing with the Garrett one, which got a lot of gas, was for him to actually stand there and talk about what a
great guy he is.
Miles, can we relax here? What a great guy. And they weren't cheering because he's a quote-unquote bad guy. Cheering because he's been awful. I don't think anyone was right here. You shouldn't cheer when guys get hurt.
Glad he's done, and I think he's finished with the Browns.
Man, he might be. He certainly might be.
He ruptured it. A rupture's way worse.
Ruptured's NG.
This guy
no
may
good,
never play football again. He's got enough money to go to massage parlors for the rest of his life, and he can do whatever he wants, Adam, because his days of I think playing are over. I mean, he's not going to play there anymore. They hate him. I think Haslam was stupid to do the deal, and I think he rused the day he did it, and the fans hated him. The fans no more want that guy back than anyone ever in the history of the Browns. He's the most vilified player on the Browns' history. They want him gone. They're glad he's injured. They're glad he's not going to be around anymore, trust me.
Washington beat the Panthers 40-7. Jaden Daniels left this game very early, and Mariota and Washington still cleaned them out. Now, he left with a rib injury. Rib cartilage is what it sounds like. He got more tests today. I just saw Dan Quinn say, week to week, which is just like when you're week to week, that means you're not playing this week, and you're probably not playing the week after that. They're going to probably be without Daniels for some time, and I know it looked nice yesterday, Scotty, but they ain't playing the Panthers every week. Okay, they're not playing the Panthers every day. So that's going to be a problem for them.
2 weeks in the yeah. dump in Landover. He won't be playing then either. Here's the deal: I've torn ribs and broken ribs, and the rib cartilage is. I think the rib cartilage is actually worse than breaking a rib. Let me just explain. Getting out of a bed, a car, or up from a toilet is very taxing. It's getting out of a car with rib cartilage tear is you literally have to have someone help you get out of the car. You cannot go anywhere on your own. That's how bad it hurts. I don't care if you play in the NFL. I don't care what you do. Rib cartilage tears, you are done.